worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 in the New Testament. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the man of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up, so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without having received the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had come out, they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God was able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Verses 1 through 22, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the grace and the power and the peace that is found in your word, and it's ours as we take time to read and meditate on your word as well. Lord, help us to grow today in our great understanding of the great importance of just really spending time one-on-one with you in the word of God. And Lord, help us to become more and more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And help us to grow much in our understanding of the vital place faith is to play in the life of every single believer. Empower us to be a people who live and walk by faith every single day. And Lord, fill us afresh today with the spirit of prayer and empower us more and more to be the praying people you've called us to be. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Appreciate all those listening by way of radio and those that are using our apps. And of course, remember, we hope that you will take time to download the app if you have not already. But also want to remind you about an important event we have coming up, scheduled on Monday, November 7th. On March 30th, 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln called for a national day of prayer and fasting, in which he addressed what he called the need for our national reformation as a whole people. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. Lincoln said, adding that it was our duty to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. How can we as Americans in 2016 do any less? The American Family Association is joining countless churches, organizations, and individuals in calling for a national day of prayer and fasting. It's time that we, as Christians, the people of God, recognize our need to repent of our own wickedness and cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, and that He might heal our broken land. As AFA has designated Monday, November 7th, as a day to seek God's face, however you participate, whether you fast one meal or two meals all day, please join us in crying out to God for His mercy. And we encourage you to sign the pledge at AFR.net to let us know that you will be participating. Hope you'll take time to be a part of that. Again, that's Monday, November 7th, 2016, the day before our National Election Day. Hope you'll be a part of that very important outreach and event. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today, specifically, as we look into the Word of God, we're focusing on the topic of learning how to turn on the switch of faith. Again, learning how to turn on the switch of faith. Now, keep this very important point in mind. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it points out specifically, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. And so if you're not operating in faith, no matter what you're doing, you cannot please the Lord. So it's important that we as believers know that we're to take faith very, very seriously, and we need to grow in our understanding of what faith is and how to put faith to work in our lives. Now, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible doesn't say to fast for faith. It doesn't say to pray for faith. It doesn't say to pull your hair out for faith. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when a person hears the Word of God, then faith can be formed in their heart, and they at that point can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. And so when we hear the Word of God and receive it and act upon it, again, that's how God's will can get done. Again, that's one form of expressing our faith. But today, as we look at the topic, again, learning how to turn on the switch of faith, as we look at that topic specifically, I want to share this from a very practical standpoint, because remember this, again, as the Word of God says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, as believers, if we can't please God without faith, it's very important that we take faith seriously and also know what faith is, and also that we learn how to put it to work in our lives rather than going through the motions of faith but not really being a people of faith. Keep in mind, again, as the Scripture says, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It also says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So faith, very simply, is confidence and trust in the Word of God. It's confidence and trust in God and His Word. And so as believers, we're to be putting that faith to work every single day, in big ways, in little ways, and in between ways as well. So again, we appreciate everyone listening in and those that are joining us by way of the Churbin and the chat room. And keep in mind, I want to encourage all of you. I start out by asking this very important question. Have you been in the Word of God today? And if you haven't, the question would be, why not? It's important to understand this. Your life is always going to go better when you learn to habitually open the Word of God and begin your day with God. Remember this, again, every single believer needs to make it a priority to spend time with God every single day as you begin your day. Again, I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every day. If you're not doing that, you're missing out on a whole lot of life, and let me explain why. Remember this, God's Word is like a bottle of grace, and it's as if God asks us the question every single day of our life, how much do you want? So when you spend time reading the Word of God, God's pouring grace, peace, power, and strength in your mind and your heart. You need it. I need it. We all need that. Parents, we need to help our children learn to do the very same thing, because it pours grace, peace, and power into their hearts and their lives as well. So every parent and grandparent as well, make it a high priority to make this a part of your day every day, to help your children get into the Word of God as well. So again, the Word says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And remember, if you don't operate in faith, there's no way on earth no possible way for you to please God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if we're wise, we will be in the school of faith all our life long and never, ever graduate. Why? Because our goal should always be to please God, to be doing that which pleases him and honors him. So if we want to please God, we've got to operate in faith. That is, operate in trust in God. Now, keep in mind, we live in a society and a culture today where lots and lots of people are worried. They're very upset as they look at the landscape of our culture. They look at the situation concerning our upcoming presidential election and many other elections as well. Many people are worried. They're upset for one reason or another. They're concerned. They have issues, and people that are losing sleep and people that are just so nervous about what's going to happen and often will say things like, what are we going to do? And they're not pleased with either one of the candidates in many regards, and some people are thinking they're not even going to vote. And people are so upset, so worried, so concerned. So much so, I recall recently reading an article by a leader who seemed to feel like the older adults are being a bad example for young people, because many people seem to speak as if the world is going to come to end if their candidate does not get elected. Well, the fact is, no matter who is president, remember this, Jesus is king. He always has been, always will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So remember this, we're to keep our faith and trust in God no matter who gets elected president. And remember this, God is just as much on the throne today as he ever was. He's just as powerful. He's just as great. He's just as almighty. He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's that and so much more. So remember then, as believers, our goal should be to develop our faith, be working on developing our faith every day, and put our faith and trust in God. Remember this, worry really is, according to the Word of God, worry is a sin. It's a form of fear. Now, some people may seem to think, well, I can't help but worry. Well, keep in mind, again, if that were the case, God wouldn't say it's a sin if it was. No, it's not that you have to worry, but we live in a world where we're used to, many times people are used to worrying. They're used to being around people that worry and feel like there's no way to live without worrying. Well, remember, worry is a form of fear, and fear doesn't please God. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what gets the attention of God. So today, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to grow in your understanding of the need for us to be persons who are growing in our understanding of our faith and how to put our faith to work. That's a very important truth, a very important goal for us as believers to be growing in every single day. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word every day. And help us, thank you also for the opportunity for us to be helped to grow in our faith as we learn to put your word to work more and more in our lives. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to be people who are growing in faith every day. And teach us in practical ways how to put our faith to work absolutely every day, knowing that we need to learn to trust you in big things and little things and all the in-between things as well. And Lord, help us to never, ever be content with just seeking to only gain knowledge from the Word of God. Help us to grow both in our knowledge and in our faith and our trust in your Word every single day. As men, as women, as husbands, as wives, as dads, as moms, as individuals out in the world, more and more help us to be a people who live lives given to faith, who are seeking to grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of how to put our faith to work every single day, in every challenge, every circumstance, in every storm, in every difficult thing we may run into, understanding that as we learn to put our faith to work, more and more we'll see the victorious hand of God working in us and through us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of learning how to turn on the switch of faith. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
This is probably the oldest question there is concerning the things of God. Is it okay to ask God questions? If we look at when the angel of the Lord visited Zechariah about he and Elizabeth, he questioned God and it didn't work out too good. The angel of the Lord visited Mary. She questioned God and he gave her an explanation. So what was the difference? Have you ever heard the phrase, when you know better, you do better? I think that that was what was happening with Zechariah. He and Elizabeth weren't young and naive like Mary. They had been around for a minute and they should have known better. God takes not only our actions into account, but our motives too. It's our attitude or the state of our hearts that makes the difference. Don't believe me? Take inventory then. If the Lord were to visit you right now with surprising off-the-wall news, what would your reaction be? If your reaction isn't what it should be, then ask the Lord for help. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Yeah.
music of Dorinda Clark Cole, Make Me Real. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of learning to turn on the switch of faith, and it's a practical topic because, again, it's important to know to every believer in all the whole wide world, it's important that we understand this. The Bible says the Word of God, without faith, it's impossible to please God, so you can't please God if you're not operating in faith. So let's talk about some specific ways in which we both express our faith and put our faith to work, and how do we turn the switch of faith on in our lives. We're looking in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verses 1 through 9, Genesis chapter 12. Of course, this familiar passage is about Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. Now, keep in mind, just as we read from Hebrews chapter 11, there are many persons that were included in Hebrews chapter 11, along with Abraham, because there were people whose faith was a model faith in some form or another. And remember this, one of the reasons why it's so good to read and meditate on Hebrews chapter 11 is because every single person mentioned in that chapter has a different faith lesson that they can teach you through their life as you read and meditate on it. One of the ways whereby we express our faith and put our faith to work is through our obedience. To hear the Word of God and obey it is a form of faith. Also, to pray. It's through prayer that we release our faith as well. But also, praise and thanksgiving and worship. That's another way whereby we release our faith as well. So, through our prayer life, we release our faith. Through our obedience, we release our faith. Through our praise, our thanksgiving, our worship, we release our faith as well. And so, as we look at the life of Abraham in chapter 12, we see here where he heard the word of God. God told him to pack up, move his family, and move to a land that he would show him. Well, Abram had a choice. He could either choose to obey or disobey. He could choose to do what he was supposed to do or not do it. Well, Abraham chose to obey. And so he acted in faith by obeying. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you as a believer want to please God, you and I, we must read the word of God and obey it. To listen to what God has to say and do what he says. So now for those persons that say, well, that doesn't sound like faith to just to hear and obey the word of God. That is faith in some of the greatest ways it can be expressed by simply obeying, trusting God and obeying him. Now remember this, if you don't obey him, obviously you're not trusting him. Because to obey the word of God is put your faith and trust that God's word is truth. It's what honors God and it's what you choose to do. So obedience is one of the expressions of faith. So one of the ways whereby you turn on the switch of faith in your life, simply obey what the Word of God says. Be a hearer and a doer of God's Word. Now, let me give you an example of the way we do that. Once again, I often like to resort to using the tool of the Ten Commandments. Well, praying the Ten Commandments is a way of putting, you might say, two different forms of releasing your faith to work at once. Let me explain how that happens. In addition to obedience being one of the ways whereby we express our faith, another one is through our prayer life. So as you read the Ten Commandments and as you choose to ask God to help you obey them in prayer, it's like you're doing two different things, you're expressing your faith through two different means. We're going to take time now. Once again, we're going to pray the Ten Commandments. But remember this, it is so wise to pray the Ten Commandments every day. And you may say, well, why is that so wise? Because remember this, the Ten Commandments express the heart of God, the standard of God, the wisdom of God that in principle covers every part of life, every issue, every concern. It applies to every marriage, every family, every community, every nation, every world. God's Ten Commandments do apply. And when a person chooses to hear and obey them, it will greatly bless that person's life. It will bless those people that seek to adhere and follow its wisdom. It'll bless a family, a community, a nation, or a world that chooses to hear and obey the wisdom of the Ten Commandments. Let's take time to pray them now. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now again, sticking with the Ten Commandments, keep in mind, when you read them and or pray them, remember that's an act and it's an expression of faith. And it's so wise to understand this. That's how you live a life where you please God, where you're continually reading his word and obeying it. That's a life that greatly pleases God because, again, obedience is one of the means whereby you turn on the switch of faith. In Abraham's case, God told him to do what would appear to be a really hard thing, and of course it was, to pack up, move from your kindred, your family, the people you're close to, move to a land that God wanted him to move to. Now, why was that important? Because God spoke by his word to Abraham to tell him to do something that would have eternal consequences in the perfect will of God. Well, Abraham obeyed, and so Abraham, through his obedience and his faith, he stepped into the eternal purposes of God. And you know, when you and I obey the word of God, we too step into the eternal purposes of God as well. So we're pleasing God, we're honoring God when we choose to obey his word. So, and also obedience to the word of God, again, is one of the expressions of faith. Now, again, the number one expression we're starting out by looking and focusing on is the expression of faith known as obedience. But number two, as we've already alluded to, it's through our prayer life as well. Another way whereby we turn on the switch of faith in life is by praying, taking upon ourselves to pray. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it tells a powerful story about a young wife by the name of Hannah who wanted to have a son, but she was barren and wasn't able to have children. Well, keep in mind, for whatever reason, she just wasn't able to. Now, her husband actually had another wife, and he had a number of children by her. It doesn't appear, based on what the text says, that he's worried about having more children. He's really not worried about it. But, of course, Hannah is very much disturbed because she wants to be a mom and she wants to have a son. And so she decides to do something about her problem. She's wise enough to put her faith to work. And when you and I have a problem, a difficulty, or a challenge in life, you know, we can cry about it. We can complain about it. We can call our friends up on the telephone and cry to them over the phone. And some people talk about their problems on Facebook or on different forms of social media. But see, all those can be fruitless or even counterproductive. But when you learn to pray about your problems, again, remember, it's one of the ways whereby we learn to release our faith. And remember this, it's critical that every day of your life, many times throughout the day, you learn to put your faith to work because challenges and problems and trials are a part of the fabric of life. We deal with them every single day in many different forms. And God wants us to learn to approach every problem, every challenge, every difficulty, every question, every issue with the weapon of faith. And so learning how to release our faith is very, very important. And remember this, one of the reasons why you and I need to be students of God's word, persons who are reading and meditating on God's word every single day, is because remember, the word of God is the main weapon and tool of every believer. And so as we learn to put the word of God to work in our lives and we read and meditate on the word of God, the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with our hearts and our minds, and he's illuminating the will of God and the things of God and the concerns of God and the kingdom of God. So it's important that we're continually using the instrument of God's word in our life to grow and to be empowered in our walk with God as well. And so, again, obedience is one of the ways whereby we release our faith. But also it's through our prayers that we release our faith as well. So learn to pray about big things and little things and in-between things as well. Remember this, when we work, but when we pray, God works. The scripture that we typically begin the broadcast is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, for every single listener, if I ask you this question, it's important for you to be honest with yourself. If you think of the five or six most challenging problems you're facing today, the biggest problems, the biggest obstacles, the biggest difficulties you're facing today, ask yourself the question, have I prayed about them? Have I given them to God in prayer? Have I committed them to my Heavenly Father in prayer? Now, if the truth be told, if you're being honest, the great possibility is you've prayed for maybe you haven't prayed for any of them, but some people may have prayed for one or two. Some people might have prayed for most, if not all of them, but probably it's a sad minority. Why? Because so many times, too many people are not in tune with the need to bring our problems to God in prayer. Because when you bring them to God in prayer, that's one of the ways whereby you turn on the switch of faith in your life. You trust God to hear and answer your prayers. So this is one of the ways whereby you turn the switch of faith on. So as you learn to pray more about issues and concerns and challenges and difficulties in life, more and more you learn how to release your faith and put your faith and trust in God. We serve a God that's a big God that's more than able to answer prayer. So many times, lots of his children don't bring many problems at all to him. In fact, some people pray very, very little, and that's the sad loss of that individual. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to learn to turn on the switch of faith through both our obedience and our prayer life. Lord, open our minds, our hearts, and our understanding to the great need for us to learn to put our faith to work every day through praying a lot. For husbands and wives praying for each other and praying for their relationships. Parents praying for and with their children and about the matters that concern their children. Persons on the job, employers and employees praying with and for each other in the right places. And Lord, there's so many ways in which people could pray and seek your face and get your help if they would but hear your word and pray, or hear your word and pray according to your word and trust you to meet their needs. Lord, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the great need for us to be a people that learn to bathe our lives in prayer, knowing that you are a Heavenly Father that always, always, always has a listening ear for the prayers of his children. And then if we would but take more time to pray, then you would answer prayer a whole lot more. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many instances in life where, as you've told us in your word in James chapter 4, you said, you have not because you ask not. Help us to recognize that as we your children, simply make it our priority to ask more, to seek your help, to ask for your guidance and your help in time of need. Help us to know, Lord, that you are a Heavenly Father that is not only willing to answer prayer, but that you love to answer prayer. Help us to never, ever be weary or discouraged about making prayer one of the great priorities of our lives. Thank you for that opportunity, that blessing. And Lord, anoint every single listener with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of prayer that we would be more prayerful in every part of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking at the topic of learning to turn on the switch of faith. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Jake and I'm 18. Because of my mom's job, I got the chance to travel all around the world. When I tested positive for a random drug test at school, I got sent the Teen Challenge. That's the best spot of my travels, because now I'm drug free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says too many Christians are more interested in getting what God gives instead of getting God himself. But the Lord has other plans. You'll see them in this example as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
when Israel was delivered from Egypt, you know, that's deliverance. He said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, we call that their destiny. But there's a great statement made, and you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, here's the statement is made. Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and they make the statement. They said, God told us to tell you to let his people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness. Wait a minute now. I thought we were going to let God's people go so they could get to the promised land. Not yet. Before they get to Canaan, and after they leave Egypt, we're going to develop them in the wilderness. And the way we're going to develop them in the wilderness is I'm going to put them in a situation to learn to put me first, to learn to trust me, to learn to walk with me, so that when they get to the promised land, they won't forget me. See, the problem today is folk want God to give them their blessing, but they don't necessarily want the God who blessed them. And you know that's true, because when they get their blessing, you don't see them no more. And they weren't looking for God, they were looking for his deliverance.
Dr. Evans says our nation won't turn to God until the church returns to God. He explains how that can happen in his book, America. It uncovers the roots of our country's moral and cultural decline and spells out a biblical plan for renewal that will really work. Get details today at TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Oh yeah, put your hands together one more time, huh? Why, because our God, he is God. But you knew that already though, didn't you? Huh? Right. Well, let me tell you, RFC, can you help me?
Of Fred Hammond, the song He's God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking today at the topic of learning how to turn the switch of faith on. And remember, God's word says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we're wise believers, we're going to try to stay in the school of faith all our life long, always learning, always growing in our understanding of how to take our faith and put it to work in our lives, because our goal is to please God every single day of our life. But again, if we don't know how to take the word of God and grow in faith and put our faith to work, then remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's no way on earth we can please God if we don't put our faith and trust in him. So we've already mentioned that two of the ways whereby we turn the switch of faith on in our lives is, number one, through our obedience to the word of God. And number two, through our prayer life. When you obey what God's word says, that's one of the ways you turn the switch of faith on. And also through our prayer life, when we pray and ask God for guidance, for help, to supply a need, for healing, for help in time of need. Again, that's another one of the ways whereby we release our faith. Then it's important to know, too, that we also release our faith through the words that we speak. Again, the words that we speak and the attitude of faith with which we live our lives as well. Remember, we're not only to read the Word of God and obey it, we're to read the Word of God and put our faith and trust in God's precious Word. So we're to believe that God's Word really is true and that it will bless us as we hear it and obey it. So why is it that sometimes people decide that they don't trust the Word of God? They don't believe the Word of God. They don't want to act on the Word of God as if it's true. Well, sadly, that has happened too often, and it's to that person or those person's loss. Because, again, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we've got to learn to hear the Word of God, take the promises of God, and put them to work. So, again, our words, speaking words that line up with faith is another way to express our faith. But keep in mind, we can also use our words to work against our faith if we choose to do so. Now, you might think, well, why ask the question, why would anyone ever want to do that? Well, that's a good question. But sadly, people say all sorts of things against the Word of God and against their own faith without maybe many times, if not most of the time, not meaning to, but they do it. And our words are powerful. Your words and my words are very, very powerful. In fact, it's very accurate to say, according to the Word of God, you and I are the prophets of our own lives. We can speak words that will bless our lives and the lives of others. We can speak words that will tear down our own lives and the lives of others as well. Have you ever heard sometimes people referring to themselves as being losers or foolish or stupid, insulting themselves? Well, you should never say things like that. Because remember this, your words are powerful. And so as we release words into this world, remember one of the ways whereby we release our faith is through speaking words of faith. In the book of Numbers chapter 13, it's a powerful story found there. Numbers chapter 13, beginning at specifically reading at verse 26. Now let me just set it up for you. Here Moses has sent 10 spies into the promised land to spy out the land. Their goal was to look at the land and survey and just kind of see what was there. But their goal was never to go in and to determine whether or not they could take the promised land. God had already called them and let them know he wanted them to go in and take the promised land. So the question was not whether or not they could do it. The question was just, again, well, the need was they just simply wanted to spy out the land, see what they were coming up against and what they had to deal with. But the question never was whether or not they could take the land. God wouldn't call us to do something he didn't want us to do. And he wouldn't call us to do something we couldn't do in his strength. Well, so they go and the 10 spies spy out the land and they come back and bring a report. So in Numbers chapter 13, we pick up at verse 26. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Verses 26 through 33, Numbers chapter 13. Now again, a very powerful story about when the 10 spies came back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of Israel. They brought back a report of what they'd seen. Eight of them, keep in mind, some of the spies, again, and I'm sorry, I said 10, actually it was 12 spies that were sent out. 12 spies were sent out, a total of 12. 10 came back with one report. 2, Caleb and Joshua came back with a different report. Specifically, Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report of the land. And they were believing that with God's help, they could go in and definitely overcome the land. But the other 10 spies weren't thinking that way at all. In fact, they were speaking, the Bible refers to their report as being an evil report. In other words, they were speaking against the word of God and the will of God. They were speaking words that were discouraging. They weren't in agreement that with God's help, as of course we could know by the word of God, it was God's will that they take the promised land. They weren't in agreement that that could happen. In fact, they had decided, we can't do this. So 10 spies brought back a report and encouraged the people to be mindful or to conclude, we can't do this. God is never going to call you to do something that you cannot do. The tragedy was they didn't choose to agree with God. They didn't choose to agree with the word of God. They didn't choose to take the promises of God and go forth in faith. Now, remember, the word of God says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So God was very disturbed with those 10 spies. And the majority of the people believed the majority of the spies and what they had to say. And so overall, most of the Israelites were upset and disturbed, and they decided they were trying to figure out a way to go back to Egypt. Well, again, according to the word of God, the 10 spies brought back an evil report. They spoke words that were not words of faith. That is, they spoke words that were not words of confidence and trust in God, whereas Caleb and Joshua spoke words of faith. And their attitude was, with God's help, we can go in and conquer the land. Well, again, the people believed the majority of, that is, the 10 spies who said, we can't do it. And sadly, they didn't end up conquering the promised land. That is, at least the adults didn't, because God let them have what they said. Now, keep in mind, a powerful truth is found there. Again, God let them have what they said. They said, we can't take the promised land, and they didn't take the promised land. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. And Joshua and Caleb, they had to wait many years, but eventually they did do it. So in a sense, everyone was right. Those that believed they could do it, they were able to do it. Those who believed they couldn't do it, they were not able to do it. Remember, through our words, we release our faith. If we speak words that line up with the promises of God's word and the will of God and the grace of God, then we're speaking words of faith. That's one of the ways whereby we release our faith, through our words. But on the other hand, if we speak doubt against the word of God, against the promises of God, we speak doubt against God's ability to help us in a given situation, it's like we can hurt ourselves. In a sense, a believer can shoot themselves in the foot. Because again, if we, through our words, just speak against God's ability to help us, it's as if we're saying, God, I don't need your help. I'll do the best I can on my own. Now, who in their right mind would ever do that? But the fact is, when we choose to not believe the promises of God's word and put them to work in our lives, we miss out. So the words of faith that we speak is another means whereby, another way that we release our faith in the world. And finally, then I want to mention our praise and worship and thanksgiving is another way whereby we release our faith into the world. God's word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in Philippians chapter 5. In other words, we're to be a grateful people that give thanks and praise and worship to God every day a lot. Now, again, you might say, well, how is that an expression of faith? Well, remember this. When you thank and praise God, even before you have the manifested promise in your hand, it's a form of faith. It's a form of like saying, it's as if you're saying, God, I'm thanking and praising you in advance because you're going to come through. You're going to supply this need. You're going to give me victory in this situation. You're going to get me through this circumstance, so I'm giving you thanks and praise and glory and honor in advance. Again, as we learn to take the promises of God's word and thank and praise God for meeting and supplying those needs and supplying those promises, then that's another way whereby we release our faith to work in the world. Remember, as we release our faith, God's will and work can get done in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So taking time to give thanks and praise to God in advance before you actually have the manifested answer to your prayer is another way whereby we release our faith in this world. It's important that we learn to worship and thank God on a daily basis. Remember this, if you only worship God on Sunday morning during church, and that's all the worshiping you do all week long, you are missing out on so much. Why? Well, because again, praise and worship edifies you, builds you up, strengthens you, but also it's a way whereby we release our faith. When we begin to praise and worship and give God thanksgiving and praise generously and like we really should, many times God will start to answer your prayers before you even ask them. Remember, the Bible lets us know without faith it's impossible to please Him. One of the ways whereby we can greatly please God is through worshiping and thanking and praising Him on a daily basis and as a lifestyle as well. So learn to give thanks and praise and glory to God every day of your life, praising and worshiping Him significantly every day, because remember, life is a gift. All the blessings you have are a gift from God. We can't tell God thank you too much. We can't praise and worship Him too much. But as we learn to give thanks and praise to God a lot, again, remember, worship and praise is the highest form of prayer, and God will start answering prayer many times before you even ask, as you worship and praise Him as you should. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to learn more and more about putting our faith to work in our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to put our work to faith in our work, put our faith to work through our obedience. Thank you for the opportunity to put our faith to work through our prayer life. Thank you for the opportunity to put our faith to work through the words of faith that we speak. And thank you for the opportunity to put our faith to work in our lifestyle of praising and worshiping you as well. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and help us to be a people that are committed to putting all these tools to work in our lives and learning how to release our faith through all these means. And help us to be a people who live a life full of faith, recognizing that you're a big God. No problem stumps you. No problem is too difficult for you. No challenge is too great for you, because you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're all of this and so much more. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love. And thank you, Lord, for giving us these wonderful tools and means whereby we can put our faith to work and walk day by day in victory. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've been looking today at the topic of learning to turn on the switch of faith. Thanks for listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.